This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 8. Today's guest is Cam Adair of GameQuitters.com.
This is Squadron Leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast. This is the show where we help fellow millennials find their true groove in life by doing work that matters not only to them, but possibly the rest of the world. Every Thursday we publish another conversation about the art and science of truly living a life of passion and how you too can do the work you're meant to do. This session's hosts are John Ridge, Brian Whitaker, and myself, JC Preston. We're part of the crew that runs New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people find their ideal career, and more importantly, giving them the resources and community to help them get there. Hey gang, welcome to November. Hard to believe that we're actually already this far in the year. I swear, living in an area where a good half of the year is spent indoors, it just feels that, you know, the first couple of months of the year shouldn't technically count towards, you know, the year. I almost sometimes just feel like those are a loss. Other people might disagree. They like their winter sports and their winter activities. But me, I feel that I'm actually forced to stay inside and focus on whatever I'm trying to do. In fact, back in school, that was actually a godsend because I was actually able to focus on my schoolwork more. And I always seemed to be more productive and got better grades during that time too. So, anyway, speaking of colder months, you know, I've been on this new course myself since March. It took me a couple of months to realize what I just wanted to do, but the New Inceptions site is functional now with future updates coming. And, you know, what was once just me has turned into a team including Brian, John, and Trin, as they have come in on board to help with the podcast and the community. So thanks to them for hopping on board. That community can also be found, at least what's the starting point of that community can be found over at newinceptions.com/FB Masterminder. Looking forward to, what the future holds for the group and everybody that's involved. That all said, you know, you can take the leap yourself too, head on over to the group or go to newinceptions.com. But, That's really what New Inceptions is all about, you know, helping people go for the career that they're meant to have. And one of our allies in this quest is Cam Adair. And since January, Cam has been hitting the ground hard himself. His specific niche that he's focused with is helping gamers get off the couch and out exploring life. You know, if you find yourself playing video games or watching too much TV, you might be wondering if that's what you're doing is all there is to life. And if that rings a bell, you know, Cam should actually be a new friend of yours. Some of the topics that we discuss with Cam today include how he used gaming as an escape from his reality when he first got started. What was it like when he first realized that he could survive on his own by adding value to others? And where exactly the idea for Game Quitters came from. So remember, you know, the podcast is for you guys. If you have a question, topic, or can think of someone that would be a good fit for the show, let us know about them. You can send us an email about it via heyguys@newinceptions.com. We'd like to know what you want to hear about. So enjoy, and for the show notes, you can go to newinceptions.com/session8, and I'll be back after the conversation to fill in anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, and again, welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Today with us is a great friend of New Inceptions, Cam Adair. Cam is a writer, speaker, and prominent thought leader on video game addiction. He's the founder of Game Quitters, a community for gamers who want to quit and get their life back on track. His mission is empowering others to live with intention. Going through intense experiences of bullying and rejection as a teenager, he suffered from depression for many years. Now, as a motivational speaker, he travels around the world sharing a story of how we can use the adversity we face as fuel for growth, connection, and purpose. He has been featured in 2 TEDx talks, both of which I have viewed several times. So without further ado, here's Cam. So, hey, Cam, how are you doing today?
Good, man. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Doing great. Can't complain. It's last day of summer, and it's still acting like it is summer outside, at least here in great, balmy Indiana.
I feel like summer has almost been pushed back. Like, I wonder if in the future we'll look back and summer will now, you know, September will just be a summer month. I don't know. It seems like it's changing.
It does that. I mean, and if you think about like the earlier part of the summer, I thought that it started really kind of, you know, with all the, I don't know where you were, but we had a lot more rain than we normally do. And it was just a crazy summer. And then it got like, then we were at the wettest the beginning of the summer, and then it became like dry. And then all the, you know, the fruit and everything that grows up around these parts just suffered from it. So, oh yeah, everything is kind of weird, but
I was actually in Bali this summer. So my summer was extended quite a bit, but that's actually one of the reasons why I'm really excited to kind of talk to you guys today is, you know, I spent 3 months traveling through Southeast Asia this summer, and it was absolutely incredible. And for me, it's being someone who's 27 in that millennial class, traveling, working on my business, and being able to experience different cultures in doing that brings a lot of kind of meaning and fulfillment to my life. And I really think that, you know, there's a few different myths about this stuff that get people caught up in thinking it's a lot harder to kind of take this step than it actually is. And so hopefully we can talk a bit about that today.
Yeah. Looking forward to the conversation. So just to kind of get going on this thing, you know, one of the things that you talk about in your videos is you talk about your background as a normal addict, more or less. And you want to start there?
Yeah. So I guess, you know, my journey to really start kind of improving my life started around gaming, because growing up, I was a bit of a rebel, or not pretty much. I was a pretty big rebel. I was a pretty normal Canadian kid. I grew up playing hockey, and I'd go to school. And, you know, as soon as I became, you know, about 14, 15, I started to experience a lot of different bullying. And that kind of caused me to not necessarily want to be at school very much. And so I'd go home, skip class a lot, and just play video games. And for me, that was an area of my life where I felt a lot more control. So I had control over my social experience. I had control over the skill development, and I was able to see that kind of instant progress, that instant gratification. And that really just, I found as I got older and older, as the years went on, my gaming only increased, and it was increasing for these reasons that, you know, research now shows supports addiction.
Right. Right. I know that a lot of times they, in fact, not only is it an addiction from your side, but it's also from the developer's side. You know, they build those addictions in there. And so those of us who have like highly addictive personalities will be more receptive to that sort of stuff.
Certainly. And I think, you know, I don't talk a lot about vilifying game developers because, you know, essentially they're just doing their job, right? Like job is to make the game as engaging and exciting as possible. And I can't necessarily hold that against them. Although I do think that, you know, I mean, I research this stuff a lot, and I do think it's getting to a point where there is some conversation to be had about, you know, the intensity of these different components. And a great book to read if you're really interested in this stuff is Hooked by Nir Eyal. I probably said his name wrong, but it's a really good look into, you know, what these elements are that are causing not just games to be more quote unquote addictive, but also social media and Instagram and different apps and all this stuff. Is there's psychology built into it. And I think because we spend our time using them and kind of just like, it's just part of our life. We're just operating, you know, we're living our life and engaging in these different apps. We don't necessarily take a step back and realize that, you know, our compulsion, which it's a compulsion, our compulsion towards it is being drawn from these different designs in these games or these apps, instead of we actually really just want to go check out our friends' photos on Instagram.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of social media has taken, you're right, a lot of social media has taken examples and cues from gaming. And I think that's one of the things that they, when, and I don't even know, because I stopped paying attention to them, but when games started coming up on Facebook all the time, it was just so intense and how many were coming on. And then when you did get in, it was just like a, just like the rest of Facebook, it was just such a, an attention drag that it was just like, okay, enough, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. So.
Right. Yeah, and it creates this passive culture, right? Like it's really kind of shifting our culture to be a lot more about just, it's taking consumerism to a whole new level where we're just kind of all sitting around there living our life, just trying to be entertained instead of trying to be engaged and really trying to actually focus on creating instead of just consuming. And I think what's lost there is so much of that creativity in each of us and that fulfillment that we get from being creative, from really creating different things and being engaged in our life in that way. And I've seen that in my own experience. You know, that's why nowadays playing video games or watching TV or doing these things doesn't appeal to me in the same way, because I would rather be working on my business or working on these different goals I have or different dreams I have that have me then going and spending 3 months in Bali this summer and having a great time doing it. And that's just the way that I've decided to kind of shift my life. But I really think that, you know, across the board, this is just causing our society to be a lot more passive as well.
Yeah. We actually initially met back in the foundation, and I was just kind of curious, as far as education goes, how did you arrive in the foundation? What was your, up until that point, what was your education like? What was your career like?
So, I mean, when it comes to credentials on the education side, I basically have none, and I see it differently now, but I really don't have any formal education. I dropped out of high school twice. I never went to college, never wanted to go to college. And after dropping out of high school, I worked for about a year, realized I hated that, and just decided I wanted to work for myself. And at the time, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know how to start a business or anything like that. I just knew that I was no longer going to go to work every day in a job I hated. And I was going to burn my ships, burn my boats, and go for it. And so I quit my job and figured it out. I mean, it kind of is as simple as that. The first month I decided to celebrate, like, I just decided, I quit my job. So like, let's party. Like, I quit my job, let's celebrate. And so I was the dude like buying shots for everyone at the club. And I maxed out both of my credit cards within 2 weeks. And it was really stupid. I mean, I was like a 20-year-old kid, so I guess there's context there, but I maxed out my credit cards, rent was due, and I was like, crap, that maybe wasn't the smartest decision. And so I had to actually call my father and say, hey, I know I just, you know, presented you with these big goals I had of I was going to work for myself and all this stuff. And yeah, by the way, I am an idiot and I need you to pay my rent, right? And so he did, but I was so embarrassed by that experience that I vowed that that would never happen again. And the next month came and, you know, I still didn't have a business. I was blogging a bit. At the time, I had been going out a lot trying to improve my social skills. And I was blogging and going out a lot. And that month, again, rent was due in about 3 days and I still had no money. I was eating ramen noodles and tofu and like, I was, I mean, this was a really funny time in my life. But rent was due And I was like, okay, well, this is November, so Christmas is coming up. What can I do? And okay, Christmas is coming up. Maybe I can sell some stuff. So I ended up selling my Nintendo Wii. You could say selling, probably more accurate to describe it as guilt tripping a friend. But a friend bought my Nintendo Wii and I made my rent. And that was a huge breakthrough for me because it was like, wow, I survived. And the next month, because I had been going out a lot and hosting this meetup group, a guy asked me if I would start coaching him. And I said, okay. And he said he couldn't do it till the next month. And I said, can you pay me up front because I need to pay my rent? And he did. And that launched the business into coaching and teaching other people social skills and dating and personal development, that sort of stuff, which I had for about 5 years.
Right.
I did really well. And I mean, it was really trial by error. Like, I could go through the steps, but you know, at one point we didn't know how to market or to do any lead gen or any of that stuff. And we just literally wrote down every single person that we knew from Facebook or our phone that we could meet with and talk about this stuff. And so we were doing 6 hours of coffee meetings every single day for 3 months and presenting our idea and getting feedback. And over time, our pitch got better and better. And then people started saying they wanted to work with us. And then we got to a point where everyone was saying they would take the course and then they would never actually follow through. And that's when we realized we needed to get deposits right away in the meeting, right? And so back then we didn't have things like Square and all this new technology. So we would literally strategically meet with everyone at coffee shops that were next to banks and ATM machines. And so, you know, we'd get to a point where we'd say, like, are you interested? And they'd say, yeah, like, I'm totally in. And we'd be like, great. You know, in order to know that you're fully committed, we need a deposit today. And this was, you know, at the time for like a $1,500 course. And so they'd say, okay, great. Like, I'm totally in, but I don't have any cash on me. And we'd be like, oh, I think there's an ATM next door. And then they were kind of in this position where they were kind of like, I've already committed. I've just said I was totally committed. Okay, fine. Right. And like, we would literally walk them next door to an ATM machine, stand outside and get a deposit. And back then, like, one lesson we learned was it didn't really necessarily matter how much of a deposit we got. It just mattered that we got something. And right. So like $100, $50, like anything was what we needed. And most of our clients were on payment plans, like probably about 90% of them, because we're selling a $1,500 course to college kids. But it worked out. You know, it worked out and it was really good. And we built the team up to 6. And then it totally blew up in my face because I had no idea what I was doing, especially on management or leadership or any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's when I found the foundation. And what drew me to the foundation at the time was community. I was living in Calgary, Canada, and I felt like I only knew one other friend who was doing this entrepreneur stuff. And we'd basically been doing it together for like 5 years. And I was really just sensing a desire for community and other people that were putting in the amount of action that I was taking. So that's kind of what drew me towards it. And yeah, I really, you know, I felt like the only education I had was starting a business and having to figure that out. Like, over time we learned about things like sales and how to generate more leads and all this stuff. But it was really like learning by doing, and that was it.
Hey, Cam, that is a really cool story. I love picturing you guys walking your prospective, you know, coaching students to the ATM. That's awesome. I just want to say thanks for taking your time to be on the show today. You said that you were in Bali this summer. Where are you now?
Right now I'm in New York City, and I'll be here until Friday. If you watch my YouTube channel, I'm almost every week there's a new video. Well, there is a new video every week, and every week I'm in some new place because I guess I have travel ADD or something.
That's cool, though. That's cool that you have that ability to move around like that. In your introduction, we talked about how you are empowered to live your life with intention and kind of how maybe you went through some intense experiences of bullying and rejection as a teenager. Could you tell us a little bit about that, if it's, you know, if it's not too sensitive of a topic for you?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm willing to kind of share to any intensity that you want, but for me, I guess what happened was, you know, I had a lot of these different experiences. So, you know, just a couple items, you know, in the ninth grade or eighth grade, grade nine kids would like chase me around at lunchtime trying to put me in a garbage can. And that, like, that's totally fucked up. Like, that's like one of the weirdest, most random experiences that I've ever had. Like, even thinking back, I'm like, that is so bizarre. Wow. But that was just what happened. And it was weird because, you know, at the time I was like, I was in the popular group of kids, but I was kind of like that kid in that group that was picked on. And so they kind of like would take advantage of me in that way. Or, you know, I was on hockey teams and I was like on the most elite hockey teams you could play on for my age and all of that. But then I would be the kid on the team that would get picked on. And I don't really know why that happened. I still experience this a little bit, not bullying because I'm an adult. And so I'm like, I can stick up for myself if something like that's happening. But it's just generally, I think, in some way, I've always had maybe a bit of a sense or a presence about me that I knew I was going to do great things. And looking back, all of these experiences in my life have challenged me in a lot of different ways, that the only way forward was for me to go through them. And in doing so, with the right intention, which I'll come back to, the right intention, that's allowed me to really grow and develop in certain ways, especially emotionally, that now allows me to be able to kind of do the things that I do now. And, you know, a lot of people will say that they're surprised how much I travel and how that seems like they need a home base or any of that stuff. And I think for me, it just comes down to, I just have a certain level of emotional stability now from doing it, that I'm able to engage my life differently. But all of this stuff kind of led me to feeling depressed for a long time. And at first I would just check out. And so I'd play video games and just numb myself. Like, after my first major breakup, I played games all day long for a year and a half. Like, didn't do anything else. And looking back, I knew I was depressed and I knew I was anxious and that, you know, I was having suicidal thoughts and all this stuff. But like, the intensity of how much I felt that wasn't so much. Like, it was a lot, but just the intensity wasn't as much because I numbed myself with games. And a couple of years ago, I went through another major breakup with a serious girlfriend. And this time I didn't numb myself with games. And I was like, I stopped working. You know, at the time I was in the foundation, I stopped that. And I decided that I was just going to go through the experience and feel it to whatever degree I felt it and just deal with it and learn from it. And I wasn't just going to check out and escape it. And that was so hard. So hard, because I knew how anxious I was. I knew how depressed I was. I knew how hard it was for me to wake up every single day and just get out of bed, because I could feel my entire body and how it was sluggish. So the intensity was different when I wasn't numbing myself, but it was a major gift, because out of that, now I'm also able to feel how great I feel, you know. Or when I did certain things to try and feel better during that time, I was able to feel better and notice what had an influence in that. And so there was one major moment for me where I think it really changed the game. And that moment was when I had a really honest conversation with myself. I was standing in the living room of my apartment at the time. And back then I had a lot of suicidal thoughts all the time. And for a long time, I actually thought that because I had these thoughts, it validated the fact that I was going to do it. Maybe not today, but eventually. And there was a point in my life where I truly believed that I was maybe just that within that percentage of kids that would just end up being like, you'd be talking about me on Facebook, right? You'd be like, I'm so sad that Cam committed suicide last night. Like, I, for a period of my life, because I had these thoughts so much, I thought I was just that kid, right? And what happened was, during that time, to pass the time, to get through the day, I read a lot. I think I read 30 books in about a month and a half. I just read all the time because I didn't have anything else to do. And some of the books I read talked about this concept of suicide fantasies, which is basically when you feel anxious, your body is triggered, and so you fantasize about suicide. But that's just a way for you to alleviate the anxiety. And so it's not that you actually want to commit suicide. It's not that you actually are suicidal. It's just that's a way that you, because you have a specific personality, respond to anxiety. And that was a huge breakthrough for me, because it was the first time in my life where I thought that I wasn't actually crazy. It was the first time in my life where I actually thought that, oh, I'm not that kid. And now I can actually just learn how to deal with anxiety or respond differently when I experience it. And I won't have these episodes so often. And that's now my experience today. Like, if I was walking around today and I felt incredibly anxious for some reason, I would have those thoughts. But the difference is now I don't identify with them, and I don't see them as validation that, you know, I'm that kid. So what happened was, I was standing in the hallway, and I had just read all about this in a bunch of different books. And I was like, am I actually going to do this? Like, am I actually serious about committing suicide? Is that actually what I'm about? Or am I just kind of being a coward and using it as a way to just escape from dealing with these emotions? And in that moment, I knew that, you know, if I could be happier, like if I could get out of it, I would. There was no doubt about it, right? Like, if I could become a happy person again, I would choose that. And so I saw the mirror on my bathroom, and I was like, what can I write there that would help remind me of this? And I just wrote, if I could, I would. And that became a really powerful mantra for me, because it just reminded me that, you know, what I did want was, I did want to get better. I did want to be happy. And that translated into other goals. I did want to travel. I did want to run my own business. I did want to surround myself by a group of friends that inspired me and held me accountable and believed in me. You know, I did want a relationship with an amazing woman that, you know, had all of these different values that we always speak about, right? I did want these things. And just knowing that allowed me to start focusing on that, because now it was my responsibility. I did want it. And so it was my responsibility to do what it, to do the work to get there. And that's really been my journey the last couple of years of just being intentional. You know, these are the things that I want. And now my actions express my priorities. So my actions every single day reflect those priorities. And over time, with just some degree of consistency, you'll get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. You use the word intensity a lot. I definitely could hear that coming through when you're describing what you're talking about and how that intensity led you to that point where you were looking in the mirror and now you're able to kind of handle the emotional roller coaster, the instability that maybe might come with moving around and having your own business and being the stepping into that identity that you realized you wanted, that you, if you could do it, you would. So that's really cool. That's really cool that you've been able to get that way. And thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it was just yesterday on Reddit, because I'm a moderator for a forum called Stop Gaming on Reddit. And a member was talking about how he had these thoughts too. And I just kind of shared, you know, a much shorter version of that. And he, or maybe not him, actually, another member had responded and was like, holy shit, that's me too. You know, and like, I know that so many of us out there have this experience. And regardless of what it is, whether it's anxiety or suicide fantasies or fear, any of these things, we all experience them in certain ways. And I think sometimes we just get caught up in it. And when we get caught up in it, we can't kind of break through, right?
Yeah.
And in order to break through, you have to have a vision of something else. You have to be able to see, you know, where you're trying to go. And I guess in my experience, it was so powerful to just truly understand that I did want these things, because then there was commitment there. And then it was really just about finding a way to make the process of my everyday actions to form the habits necessary that, like, consistently done over time would lead me there. And that made it so much easier for me to take action on. You know, I just need to show up every day, eat healthy, work out, meditate, work productively. And to do that is just, you know, more or less, again, about intention. Like, what are you working on? I have 3 goals every week. That's what I focus on, and that's it. And over time, you know, you make progress. But if you're not actually taking any of that action, it's hard to make progress.
You talked about being a moderator on Reddit called Stop Gaming. What was it that you would say sparked your interest in helping the gaming community and ultimately leading to the catalyzation, if you will, of your business?
It's a great question. So ultimately, at first, I was just pissed off. And I came to that point because, you know, I gamed a lot growing up. And I came to a point in my life where I realized, right around the time that I started my own business, or actually, it was about a year before I started my own business, where I came to a point where I was like, I had just come out of a depression from that first breakup. I was seeing a counselor, and he made me get a job. He said, if you don't get a job, you have to go on antidepressants. And I was so determined to not do that, that I was like, I'll have a job tomorrow. And I did. I was like, done. So I got a job. And I think getting the job just gave me a certain amount of structure to be able to say, you know what, like, I have a second chance at this stuff. You know, I have a second chance at kind of just changing my life in this way. And I decided I was going to go out and learn social skills. So I did that for about a year. And then when I started that, I decided to quit gaming. And the reason I quit gaming was because I knew if I didn't quit, I wouldn't go out, because I would just stay home and game. So I quit gaming, and I was good for 11 months. And then after 11 months, I moved to a new city to test my social skills. Like, could I move to a new city and make a bunch of friends and all this stuff? Mm-hmm. And for me, I was just running away. But when I got there, I started gaming with my roommate, because he asked me to play, and I was like, okay, fine. We did, and he destroyed me. I was like, I'm going to do everything possible to, like, destroy him forever. And so I actually ended up gaming for 5 months. I played 16 hours a day. I did nothing else except sleep and eat, and I went hard.
Wow. And
in that time, I came to a point where, you know, obviously I realized this was a bit out of control. But I started to think about, you know, why was I so drawn to games? Why did I play? Why did I go back? And I came to some of these different points, realizing that it filled certain needs I had. And so I figured at the time, because I was blogging a little bit, that people were probably looking for this answer of how to quit. And when I looked up the advice at the time, it was like just the typical advice that a parent would give a kid who was gaming. That sucks. And from experiencing so much of this advice, you know, from school teachers growing up, like, this stuff just straight up pisses me off, because it's just shitty advice. And I empathize with kids who, you know, take, for instance, a kid who is aware enough to realize that he has a problem with gaming.
Mm-hmm.
So he searches Google for how to quit. And then he gets advice like, oh, just study more. Or go hang out with your friends. And that kid, even if he's 12 years old, knows that that advice sucks because he's gaming to avoid studying and all of his friends play. And so he instantly just feels misunderstood. And he feels like that person writing it doesn't get him, which as a gamer, he automatically is triggered in that way because part of why he's gaming is because he feels like an outcast from society. And so he's like, fuck it, I'm just going to go back and keep gaming. And so I knew that that was happening. And so I was like, fine, I'll write this article, I'll share my experience, and I'll write this article in a way that will actually resonate with kids, where I put, you know, every game I played, I put how many hours I put in, I put the levels I reached, because I knew that gamers aren't going to respect you unless you can show that you were actually one of them. And so I did, and this article just took off. This article is crazy. Right now, there's over 1,500 comments, and these are like 1,000-word comments. Today, I got a 1,500-word comment on YouTube. Like 1,500 words. It was like six paragraphs, right? And so what happened was there were three main things I noticed from these comments. The first is just the quantity. Like 1,500 comments is crazy. Like I just don't know very many blog posts that have that type of quantity of comments, and with the quality as well. These are like essays, life stories. And they're from kids as young as like 10 and 11 and 12, which I get everything in between. I get, you know, wives of gamers, I get husbands and everything. But it was the young ages that really stood out to me because I realized that, wow, a 12-year-old is aware enough to realize that they have a problem and to search for an answer and to write an essay and to email the author. And that 12-year-old at school, the teacher would have a horrible time trying to get them to write an essay on any other subject, right? And so those three things kind of combined, but for like 4 years, I just answered every email and comment. And so they come in like a couple every day, and I would just hit them back because if a 12-year-old emails you, then you're emailing them back. Otherwise, you're an asshole. And this turned into a TEDx talk, and that's had a huge response. It's like 78,000 views right now, which is crazy. And I just realized over time that like there's a need here, and there's a community here, and that this community wants to stop. Like, if you want to keep gaming, keep gaming. I straight up do not care. But if you want to stop, then you should be able to get support and resources to do so. And support and resources that don't just tell you to find God, or don't just tell you that you need to go to AA meetings. You know, resources that just help you understand more about why you're doing what you're doing. And some steps you can take, some lifestyle changes you can take to get there. And then if you're still in a position where you're just unable to be able to move forward, then yeah, go see a counselor, work with a professional. Like, I encourage all of my community to go and work with professionals. But there's also so much value in being able to resonate and have this group of people be able to get the answers they're looking for, because they're looking for them. And so that's what turned into Game Quitters, was just realizing that, like, you know, for whatever reason, I seem to understand this problem pretty well, and no one else in the world right now seems to be doing it, and no one else in the world seems to understand it in the way that I do. And from research I've looked into and all of it, it seems all of that backs up everything I'm saying, and they resonate with me. And so there's a responsibility I feel to provide this support for them. And yeah, so that's where it came from.
That's really cool. That I definitely haven't seen anything like that, but as a, I don't think I've ever gamed quite as much as that, but I can totally get the addiction perspective, and how it can be addictive. And so now that you're an entrepreneur and now you've kind of built your life around helping people quit gaming if they want to, would you mind comparing what it's like being in this identity, being as an entrepreneur versus, and even your situation, what it's like compared to working at the JOB?
Mm-hmm. So I'll be totally honest. I've only had a few jobs in my life, and one was at Calgary Flames Hockey School, so that doesn't count. I was like playing hockey with 4-year-olds. This doesn't count. And then the next was working at, during my horrible years of gaming all the time, I pretended to have a few jobs. And I worked at Earl's, which is like kind of Applebee's, but Canadian version. Not necessarily the same, but a restaurant. I did that for about 6 months and worked in the kitchen. And then I worked at H&M clothing store for a year. And so I wouldn't say I've really had like a corporate job, because I haven't. But for me, it ultimately came down to just valuing my autonomy so much. I hated having to make that awkward phone call when I was sick, and like depending on someone else's compassion for me to be able to stay home in bed where I need to be because I'm like deathly sick, or wanting to be spontaneous and like take the weekend off to go camping or do anything, go on a road trip, and then feeling completely like a prisoner of someone else's compassion. I just hated those things because in my experience, I found, you know, I get a lot of fulfillment from doing spontaneous road trips like that. That's like what makes me feel most alive. That's what makes me feel most inspired. And in allowing me to do that, that then causes me to come back and work that much harder, right? Like I work so hard every single day because that earns my right to be able to, I could fly anywhere in the world tomorrow and I could do that. And I love that. And it means so much to me that I work so much harder today in order to be able to do that. And so at the end of the day, I just think with enough emotional awareness, you just come to a point where if that job is serving you, you'll feel great and you'll be happy about that. And if it's not, you'll know it.
Yeah.
But emotional awareness is the key, because most people are just going to work because that's just what they've always done. They're just playing video games after work because that's all they've ever done. And they're never taking a step back to be like, wait, what makes me feel like waking up in the morning? Right. And if you look at like some of the just standard ways that we're living, still today, the average amount of TV watched for an American is 6 hours.
Wow.
Like 6 hours. It blows my mind. But 6 hours in 2015. And so what times is that? Okay, it's probably from like 6 to midnight, right? Mm-hmm, like come home from work, eat dinner, sit on the couch, watch TV, go to sleep. And again, TV is just a passive activity to entertain yourself. Mm-hmm. You're not actually engaged. And so part of it for me comes down to, you know, you have to watch TV at night. You have to sit on the couch for 6 hours because you need to recover. You need to re-energize yourself so that when you get up tomorrow to go to a job, you're able to do it. And then you come home and then you need to recharge and then you go to work. And I just think that there's a flaw in the way that we see the amount that we need to recharge. Like, I wouldn't say that I have that much time every single day where I need to recharge. And I think that that comes from the fact that when I'm working, it's like inspiring the crap out of me. I'm so excited. And so when I come home, I'm not like, oh, I need to recharge. I'm already charged. You know, I might need to take a break for a minute, but it's just not the same. And so ultimately, it just comes down to, why are you doing what you're doing? And where is it really going? And at what point are you going to stop if it's not serving you? And if it's not serving you, what would? And that doesn't mean you need to quit your job, but you could get a different job, or you could work on doing something on the side. You could focus on, you know, where do you feel most alive? You know, and like work towards that. But
yeah,
I don't know. Life is short. Like,
it's true. Well, I think it's a really good perspective, though. Just like what I've never heard that the way you said it, like recharging versus being energized by what you do. And so, like, I think everyone could kind of, you know, just for a moment, like introspect and say, you know, am I energized by my job, or like, do I need to recharge? And I think that's kind of cool to look at it that way. And maybe that'll be a starting point for people, or another door to open that says, yeah, I'm either heading down the right path or I'm not.
Real quick, Cam, we were talking about how you have, you were looking at other people's schedules and the 6 hours that they spend in front of a TV and all that, which, you know, that's what people are used to. Just for an idea of how much your life has changed, can you kind of talk about what your daily schedule actually kind of looks like now?
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like most people are going to end up being like, wow, I don't want that at all. I'll stick with the job. but it's just such a different, it's a different way that I operate. And so I'll kind of give a couple different examples. So right now I'm in New York City. I'm here for 10 days. And right now I feel like I'm in startup mode. So there's two different perspectives that I can see my life from. The first is that I'm in year 7 of entrepreneurship, which means I'm a veteran. I'm allowed to go a bit slower. I know what I'm doing. I can focus on balance and these different things. So I did that for a long time. But I came to a point this year, because I launched Game Quitters in January, that I realized, wow, I'm actually in like month 9 of my startup. And it's just me right now. And I feel definitely a sense of trying to move quickly, especially because I am the only person right now in this market, or the only one that maybe has like some sanity. And so I feel definitely an urgency. That's the right word. I feel a sense of urgency to kind of take advantage of this. So I'm working a lot more now. But my average day, you know, I wake up, usually it depends on the time zone, but usually about 8. I wake up, I shower, I have breakfast. I usually cook my own breakfast, eggs, avocado, maybe some bacon. Then I usually head to a cafe somewhere, one of, you know, the cafes I really like, and have some coffee, work for a couple hours, usually like 3 or 4 hours. Then I go have lunch. Usually I eat out for lunch. Take about an hour break, walk around, just, you know, take a minute. And then go back and work for a bit, go hit the gym, have some dinner, usually have a conversation with a friend or two. Right now I'm in New York, so I'm staying with a friend. So, we talk at night. And then I usually take about an hour of just kind of guilt-free time where I can kind of do anything. I don't tend to watch TV anymore because I just don't feel like it really brings me that much value. But, you know, I'll read some articles or talk on Facebook a bit, or, you know, just do something like that. And then I usually go to sleep. I'm usually asleep by about 11:30 midnight. And yeah, the work that I do tends to be a different range. Sometimes I'm shooting videos for my YouTube channel. Sometimes I'm doing some writing, answering emails. Today I'm redesigning my website and just doing that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's a pretty standard day. It's not that different. I would say the main difference maybe between me and someone else is that has a job is that my workday tends to be a bit more, I start it a little bit later. So usually I'm in the office, quote unquote, by about 10. And, you know, I'll work until like 7 or so. Or I can kind of cut it up and work a bit later and have a break in the afternoon or whatever.
Cool. We got to wrap it up here before too long. No, you have a busy day yourself. We're just going to end it with a couple of more or less rapid fire questions.
Cool.
So my rapid fire question is, what are 3 things that you want people, if you suddenly were wiped off the face of the earth, like Scott, unfortunately.
That's crazy.
But if that's what happened, I know it is. It's crazy. But what would be three things that you'd want people to remember you by?
That's a great question. Something I've definitely thought about with the passing of Scott, you know, like, am I making an impact where that type of pouring out will happen? And that's something that drives me. But one of the things is just caring about people. And one way I show this is I respond to every email and comment I get. Like, there's 1,500 comments on that article, but 700 of them are mine. And just recognizing that if someone reaches out to you, regardless of where you're at, you know, pay it forward and respond to them. Let them know that you see them. So that would be one. The next is to, like, hustle and go for it. I didn't graduate high school. And here I am. You know, I'm 27. I've been to 22 countries around the world. I've had a six-figure business. I am surrounded by amazing groups of friends. And all of that came from my willingness to not have to be normal. So hustle and go for it. And I guess the last thing would be just to smile. I remember growing up, my nickname was Smiley because I just loved to smile all the time. And then there was a period of my life where that went away. And when I went on a trip to Boulder, Colorado to check it out before the foundation started, I was staying with a guy named Phil Drolet, who many people will know. And he just looked at me and said, "Dude, you should smile more." And I was like, "Okay." You know, I respect him. Okay. And since then, I've just really been more intentional with smiling a lot, especially in photos. You can check my Instagram. My last photo, I'm wearing like red lipstick and I have a big smile on my face. And it's like smiling just makes such a big difference. And you never know, you know, when you look at someone and give them a smile, you never know how much of an impact that can have on their day. And so I think that is something that I hope people remember, how much I smiled.
All right, I'm going to follow this up with those are very awesome and thought-provoking points. But rapid fire, three favorite teachers and experts that you would fall back on or say have really inspired and motivated you.
Oh, that's a tough question. Teachers and mentors.
Or even maybe favorite authors or anything like that.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, like Tim Ferriss is there, you know, I feel like I've never really seen him as a teacher. I just really respect kind of the quality of work that he puts out.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I really try and pay attention to. Some favorite books, like Jeff Olson's The Slight Edge, I think has had a profound impact on my life. And that's definitely one of, I mean, I recommend that book to everyone all the time. And so I want to say Jeff Olson, although I've only read his one book, but it had such an impact. I think Brené Brown, you know, she just, the way that she speaks about the issues she talks about around courage and shame and vulnerability really just allow you to get it. You know, I think she does such a good job about speaking and sharing in a way that make people feel like she actually understands them, because she's saying the things that you're thinking and she's going through the thought process that you're having. And I think that's the mark of a good teacher, because we're having those conversations, but to really get through to someone, you have to be able to have them have that moment where they're like, "Holy crap, I was saying that same thing in my head last night." And I think she does a really good job of that. And it's definitely something that, you know, has taught me so much because of her work. And it's a teaching style I pay a lot of attention to.
All right. Oh, hey, Cam. So one last question. When you think about the word success, what does that mean to you and how would you achieve it?
Success to me really feels like it comes down to the definition that you set for it. So for me, it ultimately comes down to, am I doing the things that I want to do every single day and enjoying all of it? Now, in life, there's random stuff that happens, and you're not always going to be able to do everything that you want. But the attitude that you take towards those things and how you show up is something that you get to choose. And so for me, it's really just, you know, within the realm of things I can control, am I controlling them? Am I choosing them in that way and honoring them? And in the things I can't control, am I showing up with my best and choosing the attitude that I'm going to show up as, regardless of the situation or circumstance or how difficult or whatever it is? And I think that to me is a success. Like, are you really going for it in all of the areas of your life?
Cool. That's cool. And I would highly agree with that, to be honest. Yeah. Just make sure that you're
right on
top of things. So, real quick, Cam, before we end things here, where can people find you at? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
So gamequitters.com for any of the gaming addiction stuff. You can check out my TED Talks by searching my name into YouTube, and on Twitter, Instagram, it's Cameron Dare, Cameron and Dare. And I'm pretty easy to find, and I respond to everything. So if you reach out, I'll hit you back, and I'd love to hear from you guys.
All right. Well, we definitely appreciate you coming in, taking the time today. And this has been Cameron Adair.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, everybody, there you have it. As you can see, Cam is one heck of a great guy. I personally understand the pain that he's had to deal with over the years, as I've been through much of it myself. Personally, I've learned to deal with my addiction by replacing it with something that I truly enjoy, which is, frankly, being here with you guys. So not only do I find it rewarding, but it gives me a way to be creative myself. Again, you can find Cam at gamequitters.com and be sure to check out his YouTube channel. You know, I typically try to share his videos on the New Inceptions Facebook page whenever I see them, but I might have missed one or two, so head on over to his channel and give him a few likes. In the show notes extra section, I'll post the subreddit he's a moderator of and more information on how you can curb the habit of gaming addiction, including one piece that I found that discusses that it's okay to fall off the wagon just as long as you get back on. Another resource there is for parents who see that their kids are glued to a screen and need help getting them off. You know, not all kids see gaming all the time as a destructive habit. In fact, I know I didn't, and especially at that age. So, again, thank you for listening. If you'd like to subscribe for free, make sure you get all of our new shows sent directly to your listening device. You can do so in iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Further instructions on how to do that are in the show notes. Also, leave a comment if you would on iTunes. It helps the show get noticed, sure, but it also gives me some feedback on how to improve the show. And I know if it's a constructive comment, I might actually just read it in a future session. So appreciate it if you would head on over to iTunes and leave a comment. So next part is where I give shout-outs to those who support the show. First up, Fizzle. Have you decided what you want to do when you start building your online business? Have no idea where to start? Or maybe you have an idea of where you want to start, but not exactly sure what you want to focus on? Perhaps you should look into Fizzle. Fizzle is where I go for help in building new inceptions. You know, they've recently came out with a roadmap that will help you get from conception of what you want to do to all the way up through quitting your day job and scaling it to something monstrosity size. There's over 40 courses you can take, and on top of all that, they give you a great community-led forum and the office hours. They're there whenever you really need the help. Many education systems could charge you, $100 per month for the content that they have. I've seen it, but because they want to inspire and help as many people as possible, they charge only $35 a month. And in fact, if you use my link, newinceptions.com/fizzle, you'll get the first month for free. And speaking of free, even if you don't become a member right away, you can always listen to the podcast, The Fizzle Show, which is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. So go try Fizzle out. I also want to give thanks to the host of New Inceptions, HostGator. www.thebrainpower.com. Whether you're taking the advice of Ryan in session number 7, which, by the way, has one of the highest download counts yet in its first week, or you're starting a business, you'll need to host your own site. My recommendation to be doing that is HostGator.com. Why is that? Okay, well, first of all, the support is awesome. You get 24/7 support via chat or phone. You know, not just email. In fact, I think there's probably an email option too. But, you know, the other thing is that you virtually have unlimited everything, which includes domains, bandwidth, email accounts, subdomains, you name it. Both of these you can get for under $10 a month. If you could try to go to doing that the local route, for example, you're going to look possibly at something 3 times as much for the support that might not even happen until tomorrow or whenever they get around to doing it. So that said, if you go to newinceptions.com/HostGator, you'll receive at least 20% off their monthly rate, which takes that fee to probably around under $6 a month. Again, that better to have that than $20 to $30 a month for a local alternative, which, who are we kidding, is probably reselling hosting themselves. So again, that's it. Thank you guys so much for checking in today. We really appreciate it. We hope our chat with Cam got you inspired to get off the couch and do something meaningfully with your time. You know, just like him, you can choose to make a difference in the world. We're here when you make that decision to support you every step of the way. And next week's episode, we'll be talking with Jim Vaughn, curator of the daily newsletter IQ Morning Report. One of the things I love about Jim is that his mind is like an encyclopedia of self-development. Having been successful in sales for a big chunk of his life, he has a ton of knowledge of what works and what doesn't. And also, like many of the guests on the show, Jim isn't a millennial and can give us whippersnappers some perspective to help us think outside the box. So until then, head on over to New Inceptions and let us know what you thought about Cam and his project, Game Quitters. Also, ask any questions you might have. I'll make sure he gets them. So until next week, thank you guys, and we'll see you in the next episode. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions. On Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web @newinceptions.com.